Hello, this is Dwayne Kaysen. I'm one of the associate pastors at New Berean Baptist Church, where Leroy Ricks is the lead pastor. We're having midweek services during this time of the pandemic because, like many of us, we ache to be back in the house of the Lord. So we're going to be doing these weekly Bible studies for the meantime. So we're going to open up in prayer, and then we're going to roll right into his word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, and we love you. Thank you for protecting us during this time of the pandemic. We know that God is in control. You have it all in your hands. We're trusting in you. Lord, we pray that we'll be back in this place of worship very soon. Oh, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be talking in a series on lessons of growing up in Christ. And I thought about this as I look back over the 40 years of my life since I've known the Lord. And what would I say to that young man who accepted Christ at the age of 19 on a college campus? What would I say to him to help him to grow in his life to be able to succeed, since this person did not know anything about the Bible, was unchurched, and was a brand new babe in Christ? What would I share with that young man? Well, these are called lessons on growing up in Christ. These lessons are designed for anyone, whether they're mature in Christ, or whether they're a babe in Christ, whether they eat meat, milk, or something in between. So we're going to start off on a subject titled Growing by Knowing You're Saved. Growing by Knowing You're Saved. A theme verse comes from 1 John chapter 5. It's verses 11 through 12. And it reads as this: "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Now, the Holy Spirit, moving through the Apostle John, was writing to the church at Ephesus. There were some people who were sharing some things that were upsetting the church. They were being taught by some folks we call false teachers or false prophets. They were, in essence, denying the deity of Jesus Christ. There were people who weren't sure whether or not they were saved, or that they could have eternal security, or that they couldn't lose it. You know, we go through that today as well. When people come to know the Lord, and maybe they've been in church, or maybe they haven't been in church, but they're not familiar with the scriptures, and they can be swayed from one way to another. There's some who might be told by someone, if you sin, you have to get saved again. Others would say that you once saved, always saved. And so you can be tossed to and fro from different doctrines. But we're going to study today about growing by knowing that we're saved, how to have the assurance of our salvation. And we're going to be looking at this verse, chapter 5 of 1 John 11 and 12. And we're going to take the first part. "And this is the testimony." And this is the testimony. Now, it's interesting how John is bringing this to bear as the Holy Spirit is working through him. For several times throughout the first part of the 1 John, he talks about testimony. He uses it several times, and you can look at testimony as being the evidence or the record or the affirmation. Any of those words would apply. And he uses this several times. For instance, he talks about the testimony of the blood, the testimony of the spirit, testimony of the water. He even talks about the testimony of the Trinity, testimony from the Father, testimony from the Holy Spirit, and testimony from the Word of Life. These testimonies were the way to have the evidence to prove a point. And in this Bible verse that we are looking at in 1 John, he uses this as the testimony. He says in John chapter 20 and verse 31, we have a question. And the question is, what is this testimony? In John chapter 20 and verse 31, it reads this way. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. See, the testimony here is a testimony from the Word of God, as he explains that in his gospel, John 20 and verse 31. So we bring that to light in this passage in 1 John, where it says, and this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verses 11 and 12 represent one of the great themes in 1 John. Through the author, the Holy Spirit is testifying that the Son of God is the incarnate or the personified Word of Life. So the idea is to have possession of the Son is possession of eternal life, and vice versa. So when he says, and this is the testimony, he is now giving the content of God's testimony in this verse. You can't separate eternal life from the incarnate Son of God, the person of Christ. So the point here is that only those who know God's Son possess it. Only those who know God's Son possess it. In 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, it reads this way. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the Word of God, the Word of Life. The life was manifested, shown, revealed, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that God has given us eternal life. So he's taken a little bit in this testimony of man's testimony with respect to the Lord Jesus Christ and God's testimony according to the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, John was a prophet, John the Baptist. He was a prophet. And yet the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, the man who's coming to get baptized, he is the one. He is the one. John the Baptist had a disciple named John. This John, this Apostle John, was one of John the Baptist's disciples. And he's told him that here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So a prophet of God was telling a future apostle about the Lord Jesus Christ. In that verses in John chapter, 1 John chapter 1 and 2, he's recalling how they've handled, been with Jesus. They heard the testimony. The Spirit of God came in the form of a dove. John saw that. John the Baptist saw that. God the Father spoke and said that this is my son. These are testimonies that are given by God and by man. And so when he comes to this section in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, he is saying, in culmination of all of that, that this is the testimony. And then he wraps it up, what is this testimony? And we see here, it is that God has given us eternal life. It is that God has given us eternal life. Our second point is that God has given us eternal life. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2 gives us a hint why we need to have this Jesus come and save us from our dilemma. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says, but your iniquities or sins have made a separation or have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. God is a righteous God. Man, because of the fall of Adam, is unrighteous man. This verse tells us that there's a separation between God and man. Righteous God, unrighteous man. Just God, unjust man. When Adam fell, he had originally been in a state of innocence, and he and God could commune. However, when Adam fell and sinned, the Bible tells us that he hid in the garden. He was trying to hide from God. He was no longer in God's presence, and to be in God's presence is to be face to face. We see here that in Isaiah 59:2, he's saying that our sins have hidden his face from man. He's a just God, and he cannot have the same relationship with unjust man until that relationship is restored. But the Bible tells us in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, so we can see just why this took place. Why was this reconciliation between God and man done through this person we call Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah? 1 Peter 3:18 says this: for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. 1 Peter 3:18. Notice that it says, for Christ also suffered once for sins. There are people who will say they need to get saved over and over again, which is not correct. You see, Jesus Christ died on the cross one time. So if a person could lose his salvation after the Christ died on the cross one time for all the sins, past, future, and present, and they lose their salvation, the only one that they can count on is Jesus to come back and get on the cross and die again. Well, no, he's not coming back to die on the cross again. He's coming back as a victorious king to take on the kingdom of this world. So he's not coming back. So if someone were to somehow lose their salvation, then they'd be in a heap of trouble. But that's not the case. You see, when Jesus Christ died once for sins, he was the propitiation or the satisfaction. God was satisfied with his death on the cross that paid for all men's sins, so that if a person would trust and believe in the work of the cross that Jesus died on and rose again, then that person has life. This brings us to a point. What in the world is this eternal life? Let me read this verse to you. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So from the previous portion of verse 11, we learned that the testimony is that God gave eternal life when he gave his Son. God gave eternal life when he gave his Son, because in his Son is eternal life. As such, eternal life is the final testimony to God's Son. Now, this eternal life is qualitative. It's not just waiting for us to go and see streets of gold and angels and sing praise to God. Yes, that's going to happen, but that's not the eternal life that Jesus is speaking of. Listen to what he says when he's talking to Martha. In John 11:25, Jesus is comforting Martha, the grieving sister of Lazarus, who had died earlier before Jesus resurrected him. It says, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And he asked her, "Do you believe this?" Well, let's look and see what the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 12 as we come to our third point. This life is in his Son. This life is in his Son. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 says, "And this is the testimony, point one, God has given us eternal life, point two. Point three is, and this life is in his Son." John chapter 1 and verse 12 says this, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." We're talking about a family, y'all. So if I were to ask Jesus Christ, the foremost expert on what is eternal life, I believe I could ask him, he would give an answer that he gave in John chapter 17 concerning this eternal life, how we become part of this family. Listen to what Jesus says as he's praying on his last times before he goes to the cross He's praying to his father. In the third verse, it says this. Now, this is eternal life. Jesus is about to define eternal life. He's about to define eternal life. Notice, as we read this verse, he is not saying streets of gold, praising God all day. He's saying the following. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What does all of that mean? The point here in John 17, verse 3, is that eternal life is knowing God through Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. Knowing God through Jesus Christ. Knowing him, that means a restored relationship where the just God that was separated from the unjust man because of Christ, they've been reconciled. And now to know God and to know the Son is the eternal life. It's a restored relationship. It's more than streets of gold. It is a relationship, a restored relationship with our Heavenly Father and our brother, our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 4, Jesus was speaking with a Samaritan woman who was thirsting to know the Messiah. And the peace and the intimate relationship that she was missing in her life. She had had five husbands, and she was living with a man. And the reason she came to get her water during the middle of the day, during the hot part of the day, is because she didn't want to hang with all the other women who came early in the morning before it got warm, because they would probably talk about her. She was separated from that. She did not have a great life. She was desperate for a relationship. And as she was talking, Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you'd have asked him and he would have given you living water. Living water. She was thirsting for real life, and Jesus was offering her living water. He was offering her eternal life. God and man reconciled. And as Jesus in verse chapter 17 and verse 3 of John says, to that eternal life was to know the Father and to know the Son. She wanted to have this living water. She said, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than your father, Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock? And Jesus gave her this great answer. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them, what does Jesus give us? He gives us eternal life. They will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. We're talking about the eternal life as Jesus described. Not just when you get old and die, you can have streets of gold and a mansion. He's saying a restored, living, exciting relationship with the Father and with the Son. See, this eternal life is embodied in his Son. So in First John chapter 5, and when it says that this life is in his Son, that's what this verse is talking about. This eternal life is embodied in his Son. If you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life, which is the next portion of that verse. Let's look at the verse again. And this is the testimony God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. What's the question? Who has eternal life? Well, it's he who has the Son. He who has the Son has life. Listen to John chapter 5 and verse 24. Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him, the Father, who sent me, possesses right now eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Now, I have a problem traveling over bridges. Back in my 20s, I don't know how many times I traveled across the James River Bridge. I have no idea how many times. Hundreds of times. Probably between the James River Bridge and the Monterey Merrimack. Oh, a couple of thousand times perhaps. But now, there's no way that I'm getting in my car to go across the bridge. So unless someone's going to take me, I'm stuck on one side. I can't get to the other side. I'm stuck right there. The unjust man is stuck on his side when he's separated from God because he can't get to the other side. Why? Because that's the holy and just and righteous God side. And he can't do that. There's a separation, and it is the sin. But when Christ died for our sins, and when we received him as Savior, what it tells us here is that whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death, which was in the unjust, unrighteous, sinful man side, and is now crossed over and become part of God's family and has the righteousness of Christ. Not his own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ that has been bestowed on him. When God sees us, he sees his Son. He sees his Son's righteousness because we have been restored. They will not be judged with the world, but has crossed over from death to life. And if you remember that eternal life is knowing God through Jesus Christ from John 17:3. Well, listen, he knows you. He knows you. And if you're a believer who has been reconciled to God through his Son, then you also know him. Let's look at the intimate relationship then that Jesus has with us and the assurance of salvation that he promises to those to whom he gave eternal life. Listen to what Jesus is saying in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them." Remember, to know God the Father and to know the Son is eternal life. Jesus says, "I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life." Jesus is the source, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, I know there's some smart aleck somebody who's going to say, "Well, what if I get out by myself?" I don't think so. No, you can't get out of Jesus' hand, and you can't get out of God's hand. And if you did, you weren't one of his in the first place, because you want to be in this family. You enjoy being in this family. You enjoy knowing God the Father. You enjoy knowing the Son. And the Son and the Father know you. When he says, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me, then of course you're not going to even want to come out of Jesus' hands because you want to be with him. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus says. That's how we show that we love him. Back in those days, the shepherd would have his sheep in a sheepfold. And there'd be several shepherds that would have one sheepfold. And each shepherd would have the ability to call his sheep out of the sheepfold from the others. So if Shepherd John would call Mary Sue and Billy Bob, then Billy Bob and Mary Sue would come out of the sheepfold and go to that shepherd. In the same manner, Jesus calls us by our name. We come and we follow him because he is our shepherd. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He knows us. He who has the Son has life. But what about those who don't have the Son? What happens to them? Well, whoever does not have the Son does not have life. And that's the last portion of the verse. Remember, the verse that we're looking at is, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I'm glad that I know that I can't lose my salvation because I have the Son. The promise is here in this scripture. I can count on what God is saying. However, there may be some who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. I want you to know this. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says the following. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some count slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. That's why God has not called all the Christians home yet. He's patient. He wants you to come to know him as Savior. He wants you to make a decision to surrender your will to him and to follow him, to trust him as Savior and Lord. But there's a deal here. What do I mean by a deal? When it says that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some count slowness, instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. He has this following section, but everyone to come to repentance. If you want to know God, and if you want him to know you, if you want that eternal life, the assurance that if you were to die right now, you would go to heaven. No problem. There'll be a problem if there's no repentance. In other words, if a person is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, if he's rejecting the gift, why is that a problem? Because Jesus encompasses eternal life. Eternal life is in his Son. Jesus Christ, if you reject him, then that person is also rejecting eternal life. So John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So my friends, make a choice. Believe his testimony. Repent of your sins. Trust Jesus Christ for your salvation. Receive the gift of eternal life available only in Jesus Christ so that you will not perish with the world. Just call out to God and ask Jesus to save you. I promise you, he will. We'll see you next time.